sir. Yes, sir. Listen, we are on summer fire. It is hot outside. Does anybody know it's hot outside? Raise your hand. All right. And we're going to speak that name that the wind and waves obey. I kind of wish the sun would obey that name too sometimes. Can I get a witness there, Miss Laney? All right. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
One more time, Megs.
Jesus.
It's the name the wind and waves obey, and we will pray the sun too at some point. Now, Logan Doherty and Haley McKinney, this entire student choir under the leadership of Pastor Brodus, we started calling him Brody, Pastor Brody, and Pastor Moore, they did an incredible job. Let's give them a hand real quick. They were leading us this morning. But they really did an incredible job all week long. I was one of the 75 volunteers and staff that got to be up there with the student choir this past week in the greater Denver area. I brought some pictures along. If you want to go ahead and start to throw these pictures up, you heard about it on the video from Andy Pearson. Caleb mentioned it briefly. But we were all over this front range of the Rockies, from I-25 down to Colorado Springs, all the way up to Fort Collins, Denver, Broomfield, Loveland, Boulder, all over this area. And it is a beautiful part of our country. How many of you, and they don't like this very much, the people in Colorado, I found out, but how many of you Texans go to Colorado in the summer, right? It's about 90% of us, okay? The whole state of Texas at this time, we make a little mass exodus to Colorado when we can. And we were serving all over that area. Our pastor there, Pastor Keith Baldridge, gave me some incredible statistics about that area. See, we see all the beauty and all the incredible mountains and all that stuff, Ella, but this area, the North American Mission Board has called this area, the Front Range of the Rockies, the graveyard of church planting. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. The graveyard. 98% of churches in the last two decades that were planted there, 98% of them have failed. And so what we were able to do in this past week with those 250 students and our 75 volunteers was bring some joy, some hope, some incredible enthusiasm to not only all these church planters, but the body of Christ in that area. Listen to this statistic. Pastor Baldridge told me that there are more marijuana dispensaries in that region than Starbucks, 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, and Wendy's. I didn't even know Wendy's was still existed, but I mean, a good Frosty and fries every now and then is not bad. But listen, all of those combined, there are more marijuana dispensaries than all of those combined in this region. They're about to legalize mushrooms in the state legislature, and the guy who wrote the book on late-term abortions practices still openly in Boulder and does about 100 of those a month. So there is an blanket, there is an unparalleled darkness in this area, and so you would be so proud of your students and volunteers and your staff as they went and were on fire for Jesus throughout that region. This picture on the left is our worship service 1 week ago right now on the side of a mountain in Boulder. That picture on the right is some of our students as they intersected a guy on his bike at one of our concerts. Keep rolling through those pictures. Just kind of a quick sideline report. That's Logan and Harrison Doherty on the right, North Campus, faithful. Mike and Tamara were leading a family group. That's myself and my son Jackson. Just a quick story, those two guys in between us are both named Michael. One of them is from Uzbekistan, the guy on the far left. The other guy is from Azerbaijan. They both were migrated to Brooklyn. And the Michael on the left had just enlisted in the Army back when he graduated in June. And so he was just out there a few weeks, and his good buddy came to visit him. We started sharing the gospel with those two guys after one of our concerts. The guy on his left that's serving in our military, he thought we were crazy. He said he didn't believe a word of it, but praise God, the other dude in the middle, Michael, prayed and gave his heart to Jesus. Amen? Yeah, great. Unbelievable. Keep going. The girls on the left there, Alice and Julia, were sharing with this little girl, Brooke. I'm going to tell you a bit more about Brooke later, but they did a sports camp, and God had her there throughout the week. Coleman Bales on the right there, pastor's oldest son. Pastor Bales right there interacting with a couple after one of our concerts, sharing the gospel. Keep going. So proud of Coleman. These are all of our students on the left at a concert getting after it. That's a bunch of us at a restaurant there on the right at a Chili's sharing with our server, Mimi. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that here in just a moment. And I think that's the end of our picture. So one incredible blessing of our time there is the Livingstone Church, one of those church plants in the last 20 years that has survived under the leadership of Keith Baldridge, incredible church partner in our Prestonwood network. We did a VBS with him. He had his largest attendance ever in the history of his VBS program. He had about 275 kids come. And on the Thursday of that week, Pastor James McKinney, James and his wife were serving throughout the week, and he had the privilege of sharing the gospel on our final day of that VBS. And listen to this, church family. On that last day, as the students had been loved and served and taught their lessons throughout the week, on that last day at our VBS service where the gospel was proclaimed, Pastor James shared the message, and 54 children gave their hearts to Jesus. Is that not amazing? Yeah, very worthy of a hand clap. And just the joy and the fire that that put in Keith's heart. Pastor Bales and I went to lunch with Pastor Baldridge. Right after that, we took him to lunch and just encouraged him. And he said, Connor, Shiv, 54 professions of faith, that would take us almost 2 years to see that kind of fruit. And what God did as your church mobilized and came and served, I mean, his face was aglow. He was so on fire, so excited, so joyful that now his church has an opportunity to follow up with 54 individuals. It's not just the student. Now they get to go serve and witness and build a relationship with every one of those families. So it was a fire that was lit at Livingstone Church in the heart of that pastor and all over the Front Range of the Rockies. And it's really just the same thing. One verse that I want to encourage you with this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And I know we've been in Romans about a year and a half here. And for those of you that thought, well, maybe Shivers didn't get the memo that we finished Romans. It's just one verse about summer fire, the same fire and passion that God did this last week in the hearts of our students and all over that Front Range of the Rockies there in the greater Denver area. It's the same fire that Paul encouraged the church at Rome with in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Listen and read along with me. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. The ESV uses that word slothful. It means to become apathetic or to drift away from godly influences or relationships. It means to become easily offended or to lose your joy. Don't be slothful. The NIV records Romans 12:11 this way. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Don't be lacking. No deficit, no deficiency, no inadequacy. Romans 12:11 in the Message, I love this translation, and it really fits with just the fire that we're experiencing daily here in mid-July in North Texas. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Everybody say aflame. There's something therapeutic about just saying it, all right? We're feeling it every day, Ramirez. You got to say it sometimes. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. And then the Phillips translation, Romans 12:11. Again, let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. And let us keep the fires of the Spirit. Everybody say, fire of the Spirit. Burning as we do our work for God. So we're externally feeling and experiencing a fire pretty much every day. I mean, we've had a week straight of 100 plus temperatures outside. And it's the same Jesus that the wind and the waves obey. It's the same Jesus who wants this fire, not only that we experience daily as we step out of our homes and we go to our works and we interact throughout the portions of our day, but it's the fire of the Spirit inside. We all want to burn bright for Jesus. I'm telling you, as one who was blessed to be there and to watch these students and these volunteers in Denver serving, man, there was a fire that was burning inside of them. But what does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to be fervent in spirit and to keep the fire of the Spirit burning? John MacArthur describes it this way. It's on the screen. I brought a quote from him. This phrase suggests having plenty of heat. Everybody say heat. To produce adequate and productive energy. Paul's exhortation for the Romans years ago is a great reminder for us today, Prestonwood, that we've got to burn bright for him every day. It's summertime. Louis Armstrong said, the living is easy. The fish are jumping. The cotton is high. Hopefully, as you're out of school, you spend some time maybe by the poolside cooling down. Maybe you've already been on a vacation or you've got one plan to the beach or the mountains. Some of you, more adventurous folks, may go camping and you may go to the mountains. You may jump out of a plane and do some skydiving. I don't plan to do either one of those. I've never done either one of those. I never plan to do either one of those, all right? Gives you a little bit of picture of who I am. But it's the summertime, all right? And the challenge from Romans chapter 12, verse 11, that Paul laid down for the early church at Rome and for us is, how do we keep that fire of the Spirit burning inside of us all summer long? How do we stay gassed up in a flame for Jesus internally? Well, I've got three key words, just three key challenges this morning. First, we're going to serve. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to share. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to sacrifice. We're going to serve, share, and sacrifice. We'll just take them one at a time. The first one is serve. Everybody say serve. Webster's defines serve as being of good use, to help, to contribute, to render assistance, giving of yourselves to others. Jesus in Matthew 20, verses 26 and 28, he acquainted being a servant to greatness. And every one of us, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we should aspire to be great. We shouldn't just be okay with making a C on our paper or being average. We want to be great. Look what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Everybody say servant. Just as the Son of Man, he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus makes it very clear. Very simple. If you want to be great, you put yourself at the end of the line. Be unselfish. Serve others. Die to yourself. And listen, I know that's not, that's easy for me to say, and it's a whole other thing altogether to live that out. Because, Chris, we see all of our life through this grid, everything that we do. Day in and day out, we see it through this grid of how does this decision affect me? Everything that you do, everything that I do, as we go through our day, we look at it through this grid of how does this affect me? And so the challenge for us as followers of Jesus is to break down that grid, offer ourselves to our Heavenly Father under the control of the Holy Spirit and say, but I'm going to serve. We come into worship. And how many times have I done this? How many times have you done this? Where we come in to worship, Brother Joel, we come into worship and we think, how's this going to, what am I going to get out of this? How's God going to meet me here? I need this. I need that. And the challenge for us in being a servant is saying, what can I contribute? How can I be a light to others? How can I be a blessing to others? What can I do to serve someone else? It's taking yourself off of the throne of your life and saying, Lord, use me in someone else's life. So take out your phones. I'm going to give you just a very practical way that you can do this. If the Spirit is leading you, the Spirit's moving in your heart. I know not everybody's going to do this at this time, but it's very rare that your pastor asks you to take out your phone in the middle of a sermon. But I want you to take out your phone and text the word serve to either number 74788 or 55125 if you're more familiar with that number here at the North Campus. Either one of them, you're going to receive a link. You're going to put in just a little bit of personal info about yourself, and then you get to choose which campus, Plano or North, and you'll be given a list of options and opportunities where you can serve. I brought a list along with me right here. Several of areas you can serve right here on our North Campus. Greeting, media team, our special friends ministry. We need decision encouragers. For those of you that don't mind the heat and can't get enough of it, you can go work on our parking crew out in the parking lot. There's a special place in heaven, McBride, for those folks that serve in the parking ministry. But several options right there, and you can do it today. One of the key ways that we keep that spiritual fire burning in our hearts for Jesus, staying hot in this summer fire, is we got to serve. I'd ask you the question, where and how are you currently serving? Right now, today. Where and how are you currently serving? I've been at Prestonwood nearly 20 years, and I've heard it said a number of times, this place is so big. Nothing that I do is really going to matter. Is anybody even going to notice? Is anybody going to care? Well, listen to me. Lean in just for a moment. Nobody can do everything. I get it. Nobody can do everything. However, everyone can do something. Nobody can do everything, but every one of us can do something. The call and the challenge for us is to serve. Do something. Don't look at your relationship with God as simply a one-way transaction where you take and you take and you take and you're just a consumer. Pray and ask God, use my talents, my gifts, my passions to serve and to invest and to give back in my local church. How and where are you currently serving? You need to be plugged in to a Bible study life group, a Bible fellowship life group. You need to be serving somewhere. The second word of advice or encouragement from Romans 12:11 that I believe God uses to keep our hearts aflame and gassed up for him is that we need to share. Everybody say share. We got to share Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go this summer. 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul tells his young son in the faith, Timothy, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. That's why I love your student pastor here on our North Campus, Anthony Vargas. He is a soul-winning evangelist. He is a guy who carries the sweet name of Jesus everywhere he goes, to everyone he comes in contact with. Mark 16:15, Jesus said it this way in the last chapter of the book of Mark. He said in ESV, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Everybody say proclaim. And then in the message, Mark records it, go into the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Everybody say announce. We got to proclaim, we've got to announce, we got to share everywhere we go. And listen, it's summertime, it's hot, we've got all kinds of activities. The pace of life often doesn't slow down even though your kids are at home. And so the distraction and the challenge becomes, wherever you take me, Father God, I want to be on mission for you. I want to be sharing. I want to be connecting with others. I brought a picture along earlier that I mentioned with this young lady at Chili's in Denver. We had just landed. We were eating. You can see our chips and hot sauce there on the bottom right corner of that picture. Chili's has a great little skillet queso. If you haven't had it lately, go back and treat yourself. But our server there, Mimi, in the midst of taking care of our whole table, how many of you, just parenthetically, let me push pause, how many of you, when you eat lunch, dinner, breakfast, you pray for your food? How many of you do that? Okay, it's pretty much the whole room. So why not utilize and leverage that moment of prayer over your food to connect with someone that God has brought across your path? It's so simple. Let me just show you how this goes. Mimi, we are going to thank the Lord for this food, especially the skillet queso and this awesome ranch and hot sauce. Is there anything, Mimi, going on in your life that we could pray for you? And you look her in the eyes. You look that server, that man or woman in their eyes, and you smile, okay? It's not hard. You be kind, and you ask a question. You engage someone. So Mimi begins to tell us that she's from New Braunfels, Texas, all right? Instant connection. I told you a lot of Colorado people don't like Texans. Mimi's on our side, all right? She's a Texan. She's from New Braunfels. I'm from Bernie. I'm down in the hill country, all right? I played against the New Braunfels Unicorns and the New Braunfels Canyon Cougars every year of my life in junior high and high school. Instant connection, easy conversation. And as God would have it, Mimi's been managing this Chili's. The lady that was taking care of us was like our first day, so she was coming over, giving us more attention and really helping us out because it was a larger table. Started talking to Mimi. 3 years she's been up there. And as God would have it, she's in a season of transition. She's just going through a really hard time. And this is what God does when we serve him and we make it our aim to share him with others. He opens doors. He provides opportunities. It's very, very simple. So we begin to ask Mimi just a few more questions. And at the end of our time together, as we paid out our bill and we were about to leave, we just asked her, hey, could we spend a moment and pray with you specifically? And she said, that would be great. And so we circled up, we prayed with her, and we asked God to bless and direct her path. And she gave us a big hug, and tears were coming down her eyes. She said, you have no idea how bad I needed that right now in this season of my life. Fellow believer, just going through a difficult time. We have to make it our aim. Look what Pastor Graham said when he first came to Prestonwood 33 years ago in the summer of 1989. You can read this quote along with me on the screen. It is well said that a church exists for evangelism as fire exists for burning. May our hearts beat in unison with the heart of God to bring people to salvation. We must not fail to fulfill the marching orders of our Lord to go with the gospel, whether it is across the street or across the earth. My prayer is that we will share Jesus now. That's my prayer. That's my hope. That's my challenge for you this morning, church family, because the marching orders have not changed. Your orders and my orders have not changed. When Jesus came back and he overcame death, hell, and the grave, and he's leaving earth and he's ascending to the right hand of the Father, he gave us the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28. It's in Mark 16. It's in Luke 24. It's in John chapter 20. And it's Acts 1:8. When he said that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my what? Okay, let's all say that together like we actually care about a lost world that's dying and that needs us to be a witness. On three. One, two, three. We're going to be his witnesses everywhere we go. Everything that we do. Anyone who God brings across our path. I brought along a simple prayer as we covenant together to share. Open our eyes, Lord, to the hurting all around us. Open our hearts to care for those who need Jesus. Lord, open our lips to share the gospel boldly. So my question for you this morning, church family, is when was the last time you shared your story? When was the last time you shared with someone about the difference that Jesus has made in your life? That's why I love going on these mission trips. Because after those concerts, after we've played and that we've sang and that we've performed, we get to go out to that crowd and share with them why we're there. Because there's a God in heaven who loves us. And Jesus, he sent Jesus to die for our sin and our brokenness. When was the last time you invited a neighbor, just invited a neighbor or someone that you work with or a family member, someone in your sphere of influence that God has placed in your life? When was the last time you just invited them to church? When was the last time you reached out? This is what you were created to do. There's nothing in this world. There's no business deal. There's no relationship. There is nothing in this world that will satisfy your soul. You were created for Jesus and Jesus alone. And sharing Jesus is God's plan A, taking him to the nations. It is the greatest joy. I had that picture up a moment ago. These two young ladies, one of them happens to be my daughter, the one on the right there, Julia Shivers, and Alice. Julia and Alice were doing this camp all week long, and they met this girl on the first day. Her name is Brooke. She, on the first day, had them paint a rainbow on her face and said that they were doing some face painting, said that she identified with a lesbian, with some lesbian women. And at 9 years old, was having just a lot of questions about her personal sexuality. And I mean, I just have no concept of that. But at 9 years old, as God would have it, he had her at this camp with her cousins in this area, in this neighborhood, to meet these girls. And they were able to walk her through the Bible and share with her that she didn't have to go down that path, that God had created her for himself, that he had created her for a relationship with the Heavenly Father through his son, Jesus. And They were able to lead Brooke to Christ, and it was just amazing. And I share that with you because these two girls, for the rest of that day, were just floating and on fire for Jesus. It's a summer fire. It burned in them so bright when they took advantage of that opportunity and shared the gospel. It's like gasoline for my fire, sharing Jesus. I'm telling you, it's the best thing that I've ever found for keeping the spiritual fire in my heart burning bright for him. It's sharing this incredible gift that God has given us. The last exhortation this morning, we're not only going to serve and we're going to share, but the last one is we're going to sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Sacrifice. We got to hold loosely to the stuff of this world and be generous. We have to sacrifice for others. Jesus said when we give in Luke 6:38, he said, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." We had that video earlier where Andy shared with everybody, all of us this morning on that video, that it's your giving that makes trips like this possible. Our VBS that we had recently, our beach camp that our students did, there's so much of our programming that we do week in and week out that if you as a church family are not giving, it's not possible. So my hope and my prayer is that you'll engage with the Lord in giving. This didn't come easy for me. I was a 21-year-old college student when God grabbed a hold of my life through a relationship with a guy at Campus Crusade for Christ. And my only model of giving or stewardship was just my dad every now and then, not even regularly or often, but when the plate would come by and he had a good week, he would just peel out his little money clip and throw a 20 in the plate. I had no idea what it meant to be a good steward or to sacrificially give. And so I'm going as a 21-year-old student, senior year in college, to serve at Yorktown Baptist Church in Corpus Christi as a summer intern. I sit down with my boss, Paul White, and Pastor Paul says, "Hey, Shivers, we're going to expect you to give this summer. Here's what we're going to pay you, $2,000. You're going to get three little checks for $660-something dollars, and share with me Malachi chapter 3, where we're to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me in this, says the Lord. See if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven." 2 Corinthians 9:7. He shared with me that God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm going to be a steward of these resources. And I'm leading our student ministry as his intern for junior high and high school. And as he's telling me this, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, this guy is crazy. He has no idea who I am. And I, you know, my mom's a school teacher. My dad was a social worker. I didn't have any kind of allowance in college. I had to live on the money I made in the summer, all summer long. So $2,000 was already not a lot. And now he's expecting me to give $200 of it away. I'm thinking, this is nuts. I cannot do this. But the Spirit of God just kept nudging my heart. You got to be obedient. You got to do this. And I wish I could say, church family, that it was easy, but I can even see right now as I'm talking to you, my little Nations Bank checkbook and writing a check to Yorktown Baptist Church and beads of sweat and like the hairs on the back of my neck standing up and thinking, this, I cannot do this. June, July, August, and I'm putting those checks in the plate and I'm just walking by faith, Lance, saying, I guess the Lord can do what he can do. And then fast forward, last day of the summer, a little party going away, celebration. The kids, we're having some pizza, we're high-fiving, we're hugging it out. And this is my Bible I've had since high school. And Susan Duke, I lived with three different families there in Corpus each month. And Mrs. Duke came up to me, gave me a big hug, said, "Thank you for investing in our children and our students this summer. It's been a blessing having you." And she stuck an envelope in my Bible. And it was a holy moment, guys. I can't even explain it. And no concept, no idea about tithing or giving at all. And I got in my car, and I left that envelope in that Bible all the way. And it was like Corpus Christi to Dallas. It was like a 30-minute little worship session. I was just flying back because I knew, and God had said, in that moment, when he gave me that envelope and that blessing of that family, that, Shivers, you're my boy. I got you. He's saying the same thing to you this morning. I've got you. Wilcox, I've got you. You trust me in this. Tithe, give. And that envelope, when I got back home and opened it, it was more than double what I had given. And I've never stopped giving since that moment. And I'm just telling you, church family, because the statistics show less than half of us even tithe or give on a regular basis. If you want to do your life on the 100% minus God, you're only hurting yourself. Give a tithe. Give 10% at least, and then above and beyond that. Give it back. Give it away to the kingdom. And God will bless you beyond anything you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Give generously of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Because we've got to serve, we've got to share, and we have to sacrifice. I close our time here this morning with just a brief story. How many of you parents out there are in the same boat with me? When your kids are home for the summer, it's hard to get them off of the screens. Any other parents know what I'm talking about? Like TV screens, iPads, yes, phones, all that stuff. Well, so my ninth grade daughter, she's a homebody. She likes to chill. She likes to just lay up in bed and stay on the screen. So I made a little deal with Audrey. I said, we're going to take a bike ride. And she wasn't really excited about a bike ride with dad. I mean, very few 14-year-olds that are, you know. But so I bribed her with a Slurpee from 7-Eleven. I said, we're going to go to 7-Eleven. We're going to get a Slurpee. We're going to have a great time, Dr. G. So I get out there. We're chewing up the open road, me and Audrey and our little bikes. We can feel the heat chewing up our tires. It's hot. We get through our neighborhood. Thankfully, 7-Eleven is just a few blocks away. All right, so it wasn't a real long ride. We weren't really sweaty or hot. But we get in there. We get our Slurpees, and then she doubles down on me and somehow negotiates some candy, Airheads, or some Nerds or something out of me as well. And I was trying to fight it. I said, we just negotiated the Slurpee, and somehow we ended up with some candy too. But then we're standing in line. We're at the 7-Eleven and trying to check out and get out of there kind of quick. And so if you're in a hurry and it's hot and you're on a bike, the last thing you want to see is a lady with like a coin purse and change spread out all over the counter, all right? And so to my dismay, this is what I start to see. And I see a line forming behind me. But we finally get up there, close to where we're about to check out. And I lean in, and the lady is definitely frazzled, hurried, chaotic. She sounds very anxious and disheveled. And I just put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, is there any way, would you mind if we take care of this for you? And she just had two bags of pork rinds and a couple of bottles of water. And I know that because pork rinds could be the most hideous chip or snack that's ever been developed in the history of food. And my dad loves pork rinds, so I'm like, my gosh, this lady's having a bad day if she's eating pork rinds and she's throwing coins all over the counter. And as I put my hand on her shoulder and asked her that, she turned around, and her face was just full of fear and anxiety. And she said, that would be great. My husband had a stroke this morning. He's at the hospital, Presby Plano, just down the road. He's stable, but he just needed something to drink, and he wanted his favorite snack, a pork rind. And I said, ma'am, it would be our honor to take care of this for you. And I looked at Audrey, and I said, if you wouldn't mind, we'd love to pray for you too. And tears, I mean, her eyes started watering, and she grabbed us, Audrey and I, and she pulled us in, and she said, that would be great. And so we prayed and asked for healing upon her husband and asked that God would bless her and calm her nerves and give her peace through the storm. And as we finished praying, and I looked back at the line of people in 7-Eleven, and they were all just kind of had their hands folded and their heads bowed, and the guys at the counter were doing the same thing. Just an unplanned, holy moment on your way to 7-Eleven for a Slurpee. And I share that with you, church family, because it was so easy. Serving someone, a person in need, sharing a simple prayer, sacrificing. Let me take care of your water and your pork rinds. How simple it is when we make it our aim, when we make it our prayer to live hot in a fire and a blaze for Jesus, serving, sharing, and sacrificing for others. He'll use you, church family. Keep your eyes open. Stay alert. Keep your heart tuned in to the Holy Spirit. It's going to be an incredible final half of the summer as we burn bright for Him. Amen? Bow your heads. Let's pray together. And we offer an invitation week in and week out here at Prestonwood. We do it unashamedly. We want to invite you in these moments as we close our service to come to Jesus. There's some of you in this room that may not have a relationship yet with this Creator God of the universe. He's a good, good Father who loved us with an infinite and unconditional love. He loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die in your place, to die in my place. He lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death that we deserved in order that we would receive the free gift of eternal life. It's this message, it's this gospel that this student choir has proclaimed all over that Front Range area of the Rocky Mountains, throughout that region, God. It's that same gospel that not only changed hearts then, but can change a heart this morning, right now. Let me encourage you. Let me implore you. If you do not know Him, if you do not know where you will spend eternity, complete and total assurance, come forward today. Give your heart this morning to Jesus. Trust Him. Be the best decision you've ever made. Be the greatest decision you've ever made. The only decision with an eternal consequence. Every other decision that you and I make throughout our lifetime, it's temporary. We'll move on another day, another hour, another moment. But your soul was made to last forever. And we get to choose where we will spend eternity, either with Him forever in heaven because you've received Jesus, or you can reject Him and do it on your own and spend an eternity apart from Him in a horrible place called hell that we would not wish on our worst enemy. So respond today to that gospel call. Some of you have been visiting Prestonwood for a number of weeks and maybe even months, and it's time for you to come forward and place your church home, your membership, and this family, this body of believers we call Prestonwood North. Come home. Find a church home. Plug in with us today. We would love to meet you. We would love to make that a reality this morning. Simply come forward and tell one of our ministers that you want to join Prestonwood. And then others of you, we saw a baptism this morning from a young a man who grew up with a Catholic background, who heard the gospel and responded to that gospel. And he gave his heart to Jesus, and he wanted to outwardly proclaim what God had done on the inside. If you haven't done that already, if you haven't been biblically baptized after professing faith in the Lord Jesus, come forward, meet one of our ministers. We would love to talk to you about that baptism and what it means to follow Christ in those waters of baptism. That's our invitation. Father, we give it to you in Jesus' name. We pray that you would have your way. Move by your Spirit on the hearts of your people. And we love you and we praise you. You're a good, good Father. Help us to live lives, Father, where we serve and we give our lives away. We share the sweet name of Jesus with everything we have and all that we are. We sacrifice for others, God. We lay down our lives. We steward well all the resources that you've entrusted to us. That's our hope. That's our prayer. Have your way in this place and the hearts of your people. And we give you this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.